you. So we just yield tonight to all of those things that you've said and spoken into your word, specifically concerning your return and your coming back to this earth. Father, I ask that there would be an anointing in here tonight, Lord, that would so deep and penetrate so deeply into our hearts that we would leave here changed, but also, Lord, understanding what it is and how to, we are to prepare for that return. And so, Father, we just yield to you now, Holy Spirit. We just ask you to manifest yourself whichever way you see fit. And we just give you all the glory and all the honor in Jesus' name. Amen.
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 God,
yes.
I saw a lion walk slowly around us, all the way around in a circle. We're enclosed in his presence. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
I'd like to see that lion too. People are seeing things these days.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you.
Someone last night said they saw my angel. And, you know, I'm aware of them. I don't know if you're aware of your angels, but you have angels around you. And, you know, sometimes we have more than one, you know, many, many. But they're there to protect you, that's for sure. But it was interesting, the brother had was saying something to me that only the Lord knew. There's no way he could have known what he was saying to me. And it really blessed me. So God is doing some things. And so you can expect for the supernatural to move around you, because that's just the God we serve. He is a supernatural God. Amen. Praise the Lord. I feel a little is my voice, or?
Sound normal?
Back.
Test, 1, 2, test, that's better. Yeah, there we go. That works. Thank you, sir. Everybody, let's just point your hand to Lewis. It's been a blessing. I mean, just to park that lion back there right next to Lewis in Jesus' name. Lord, I just thank you for him. You know, he's such a blessing. Is everybody? And he moves and flows. The words of knowledge are incredible that comes from my brother. And he's such an encourager. And I'm so thankful for him. I don't know, we've known each other now for over 20 years, maybe. It's been a long time. And it's amazing how the Lord had put us together. And it's just a blessing to have somebody that's around that encourages you all the time. You know, we need that in our lives. You know, and I know that if I do anything that's a little off, that he'll come and encourage me too. So it's good to have the feedback. Amen. Because we want to get feedback sometimes. Praise the Lord. God's so good. Amen. Amen. My sister right there in the grace service, I just want to bless you. I just want to give you a word of encouragement. And I just see the Lord just really doing a work around your life, mainly in those that you're praying for. You know, when we intercede for somebody to get it together, you know, and they don't look like they're getting together, but you just stay in there and you just keep knocking and knocking and knocking. I just see you just being really persistent. And out of your persistence, the door is being opened unto you, and God says, I'm going to do the very thing that you've asked me to do, and I'm going to do a quick work. God says, it's not going to take long, but I'm going to do it quickly. And I just see the Holy Spirit erecting a wall where this individual just, boom, just hits it. And all of a sudden, they get this, get the sense knocked into them, I guess. Amen? So I just want to encourage you. You know, you're in the right place tonight. The Lord's hand is on you in a mighty way, so just be encouraged. And I just see really, Lord, using that prophetic that's in you into a greater dimension, and where people really get a real solid word from you. You know, you're not one that's going to yell the word of God to somebody, but this is a firmness within you that needs to come out. That people need to hear a word of correction and a word of strength combined together with wisdom. I see you really delivering that time and time again. And your ministry is very effective. I call your ministry a timing ministry. You know, it's like people are getting these words from the Lord different ways, not necessarily in services, but I mean, just he's communicating. All of a sudden, you know, you're the person right before they go off the cliff. Amen? And God gives you, just stops them in their tracks. So just, Lord, just anoint her, Lord. Just bless her, Lord, and fill her up to overflowing with the Holy Spirit with that ministry in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, I was sitting over there and worshiping. Lord was speaking to me about you, Paul. And Apostle Paul, and but he was saying to me, I kept seeing you in the spirit fishing, It was really strange because you were fishing alone. It's like you had people around, but you were fishing alone. And it was the secret place. It was your secret place. It says, he who dwells in the secret place most high shall remain stable and fixed under the shadow of the Almighty. And it's in that secret place that you're receiving revelation. And there's a deep river within you. This deep river that's within you is a concern, not just for individual, it's a concern for the world. It's a concern for the nations. And God is stirring you so deeply in that realm. And God says, don't feel that you're limited in your power, because I'm inside of you and you can intercede for the nations. You can even speak a word out there alone, fishing or whatever it is that you do. You can speak a word out there that can be quickened in the Lord, and it's released into this atmosphere. See, the word of the Lord, no one even needs to hear it. You can prophesy to a mountain, to a tree, or to a brick, you know. It's the fact that his word gets out here and the angels hearken unto his word and they go into operation. And many people don't understand that God could be moving upon them and they could speak a word and the angels that we don't see, they're there, they go into operation and they do things. They do warfare. They rescue. They do all kinds of things that they're assigned to do that they get right from the throne room of God. And I see God using you like that time and time again. There's a wound that's inside of you, been for many years. It's been resident. God says, I'm healing that tonight. There's a wholeness that's going to come into your life. And you're going to realize that God has touched you so deeply. And you know, we know we go through things in life. There isn't a person here I couldn't say that word to, but I just wanted you to tell you, because I felt like there's a special deliverance that you're going to experience in your life where God just completely makes you a complete whole on the inside. And I see that healing ministry moving through you in a greater dimension. You've seen the healing power of God, but not like it's going to come in the days to come, because you're going to be one that's going to step out in the army of the Lord in these last days. And you're going to see the glory of God manifest time and time again. So yes. Go to that secret place, that fishing hole, or wherever you go, and just be blessed in Jesus' name. Wow. Amen. Amen. I mean, get right out of the gates today, right? Amen. I'm going to go. I'm not a big series guy, but I felt strongly that the Lord was telling me to teach on preparing for the return of the Lord. And last week, we were in 2 Timothy. If you just want to turn that up real quick. 2 Timothy, I got my little bookmarks here. In 2 Timothy chapter 4. That's why I don't do it like that. There we go. Sorry, verse 6. For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure has come. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. In the future, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all those who have longed his appearing. Longed his appearing. Other versions say loved. But I was talking last week about longing for the appearing of the Lord, that there's certain criteria that we meet in our lives that point that out, that we really truly are longing for his return. But when he says here, it says all who have loved his appearing, he talks about a crown of righteousness. And these to me are a special group of people, a special group of believers, that they live that their life like that. And it's not by mistake that happens. And the longing for someone, as I was using the example of, you know, someone getting married, or, you know, when I was getting married to Kara and I longed for that day, and I couldn't wait, and the doors opened and I saw her, and the beautiful union that occurs between us and the Lord is in such a same way. But to long for something is something that is evident, it's inside of us on a daily basis. It's a 24/7 thing. And I really want to get that point across to you, because when you're going to know if you're functioning in this. This isn't something that, you know, well, I'm just going to long for the Lord, you know, and then all of a sudden things start to happen in your life and all of a sudden you stop doing that. This is something that is permanently within you. And there's a reward at the end of that, a crown of righteousness. And it talks about one part of the book of Revelation where the people are laying their crowns down before him. Well, I want to have a crown laid down before him. But the longing for the Lord and the process of that is something that is very intimate in the development of your life as a Christian, but also your assignment that's here on this earth. And so you want to get to understand that, and you want to make sure in your life that you have this going on inside of you, okay? So last week what we did is we said, what is the evidence and the outworking in our lives that we are longing for his appearing? And there's four aspects or four examples that I want to go through, and we touched on one last week, and that was cultivating personal holiness was one of the manifestations that we are longing for him. Now in 1 John, I'm just going to go read that real quick. We did a bunch of scriptures last week, but 1 John chapter 3 says, Beloved now we are children of God, and has not yet appeared yet what we will be. We know that when he appears, we will be like him, because we will see him just as he is. And everyone who has this hope fixed on him purifies himself just as he is pure. And so the fact, if you're longing for the Lord and you're looking for his appearing, the result of that is a manifestation, a purifying effect that happens in your life. And why is that? Because, you know, it says that when we see him, we will be like him. So whether he comes back in our lifetime, which is a real possibility, or he comes on down the line or whatever, it doesn't matter which time, we're all going to see that. And so when he pierces this earth and comes from the realm of heaven into this realm, when we see him, we see what he is like, his glorified body, and we are transformed immediately in a blink of an eye. So you think how quick that your eye goes down. That's how quickly we're changed, because we'll see him just as he is. And the scripture says that if our hope is fixed is different than just, well, I hope today, a fixed hope. Think of things that you obsess about. Think of something that, you know, you got worried about, or something that's like a gerbil going off in your head over and over in a negative sense. Well, hope fixed on Jesus' return is better than a gerbil going around your brain. It's something that is exactly, it's something, it's a future event. It's going to happen. It's something that you and I will be witnessing. It's not it will happen. And so you have the ability while you're here in this realm to have your hope fixed on that. And the very thought that he's going, let's say if he's going to come at 9:30 tonight, well, how are we going to act? What are we going to do? I mean, you know, there's that, you know, hey, I want to make sure I end up this day, you know, on a high, you know. I mean, just that fact and the natural makes you want to live a little better. But hope fixed is different, because the Holy Spirit does an internal work inside of us. It's something that's an inside job. And so when your hope is fixed on his return, there's no release, the manifestation of the power of God that resides in you and me. It's like we got Jesus inside of us, and he manifests himself. Well, he's pure and he's holy. And we live in a corrupted body. But we're in union with him, and he infuses his righteousness within us. But their hope, when it's fixed on that, it activates that. And so that's longing for the Lord. And a lot of times, you know, we get in life, we say, man, I just want Jesus to come back today. I mean, come back today and take me from all this stuff. Well, you can be like that every day. Right. Don't let the stuff motivate you. Let the glory of God in that day, and begin to visualize it in your spirit. One of the things that, you know, when I was working in the Avalanche, we talked about visualization. Visualizing yourself doing the dive correctly, or performing, or whatever it is you're doing. And they would do that and go through that in their minds. Well, you know, the thing about it is, the scripture's talking about meditating on his word day and night. Meditation is a visualization of his return. Because he's already, it's in God's mind, and God, he declares the end from the beginning. He's already come. I mean, there's within us, there is those abilities and the power of the Holy Spirit to visualize it. We may not know, you know, see the detail or anything like that, but it seems to me as in these days, I'm able to do that where I couldn't do it before. It was something that I can look up in the sky, and I can just see him coming through. I don't know exactly what it's going to look like, but I somehow understand my response to it. You know, it's like, oh, he's, you know, he's here, you know. We're much the world is not going to be like that. It's going to, oh, no. But we're like, oh, he's here. We're changed. Our redemption is here. So that's the first aspect. That's one of the things that you know that you're longing for the Lord is you're cultivating personal holiness. The second part, to know that we are longing for the Lord's return, is that we complete our assigned task. We have an assigned task. We have an assigned mission. And so completing that is proof, it's evidence that we're longing for his return. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. It says that, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. So we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. So we're his workmanship. We were created in Christ Jesus. Our creation, our purpose, the reason why you and I are here, are for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them. God prepared these works beforehand that we would walk in them. Other versions said that we might walk in them. But we are his workmanship. We are created by him. We're created for doing good, not evil, but to do good. And these works were prepared before the world was even made yet. So you don't have to decide what to do. You need to find out what he has prepared for you. And this is the problem. People are always trying to find out, well, what is it that I do? Where do I go? But see, he's already prepared it. So you have to find out what he's prepared. It's different than trying to find out what I'm supposed to do. He's already prepared it. So that's the way you pray. That's the way you seek. That's the way you walk. He's already laid it all out. He laid this out for me years ago. I didn't even know. I mean, I had a word. I've had prophecies. I've had things spoken to me, and you have too, that God was going to do X, Y, and Z, and you know, some of the prophets I had are, you know, way out there in outer space, but many of them were exactly right on. And so this was already prepared for me to talk to you today. He prepared this meeting. I had nothing to do with it. He prepared it that I might walk in it, that I might come to you and bring you a word, or bring you a word. That's prepared before the foundation of the world, before the world was created. You know, God made me to come to you, Paul, sir. And to you. I don't know your name yet, but...
Libby.
Okay, Libby. So he's prepared things for you to find them, what he's prepared. It's different than trying to find out what you're supposed to do. People trying to find what they do, you find out that that's kind of where they stay stuck in that for a long period of time. But when you take the attitude that, hey, this has already been set up, it's different. The way you seek it is different. In Revelation 19, so longing for the Lord and longing for his return is to seek out what he has prepared for us. And that very seeking is translated into a longing for his return, because we recognize the mission that we're to accomplish brings us closer to him, because you're working in tune with him. And when you're in tune with God, you're aware of, and I'm getting ahead of myself here tonight, but you're aware of what's going on. You know, you ever been in a situation like in class, gosh, school all the time? I didn't know what was going on half the time. You know, you're sitting there and teacher's talking, and you just, and you kind of all of a sudden you get someone calling you, hey, yeah, Todd, what is it I just said? You know, and you just don't even know, because you just don't know what's going on. You know, and we're in the Holy Spirit class, and sometimes, you know, we don't know what's going on, because we're too busy thinking about this over here when we should be paying attention in the Holy Spirit class. Because we are in a classroom in a sense. Amen? So knowing that you're heading towards your mission is something that keeps you in contact with the Lord. But in Revelation 19, starting in verse 7, says, "Let us rejoice and be glad and give glory to him, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his bride has made herself ready. And it was given to her to clothe herself in fine linen, bright and clean, for the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints." So you see this, it's this mission, but it says in the scripture here that the bride had made herself ready. She made herself ready. So she prepared herself. You know, like I know that, you know, when Karen and I got married, I'm sure that that day she got someone to do her hair and to do her nails and to do her makeup and, you know, all the things, you know, to make herself, you know, even more gorgeous than she is when she doesn't have that on. You know, it's hard to take it up to the next level when you're already beautiful, right?
Amen.
Yes, that's right. I'm gonna get some good cooking tonight. But my point is that there's a preparation that you go through when you're involved in a wedding. And this is why the Lord uses this illustration, because you've got to get yourself ready. It says that she made herself ready. And what the church doesn't realize is the church has everything to do with his return. And we don't even know it. But it says in here that the bride has made herself ready. So that means the Holy Spirit is doing a work in this earth right now, in you and me, to prepare us and to make ourselves ready. And by taking on our mission, by you completing and finding out what God has prepared for you, you are preparing yourself. You are making yourself ready. You're doing up your hair. You're doing up your makeup. Well, guys, don't put makeup on, but you know what I'm talking about. You're preparing yourself for that union. You're getting yourself ready. And then it says here, it says that it was given to her to clothe herself in fine linen, bright and clean. For the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. The righteous acts. We, you know, but when the Lord came inside of us, you got born again and you invited him in. He imputed his righteousness within you. That righteousness, the righteous acts, those deeds, all those things prepared, that was imparted into you. So you have received righteousness. You are righteous. But there's an outworking of that righteousness. It's not just that we don't want to get before the Lord and we have received righteousness. No, there's an outworking of that righteousness. We need to work that out, those righteous deeds that prepares us for the Lord. And every righteous deed that you and I do is like a thread of cloth. It's like part of that fabric. It's part of the garment. The bride has made herself ready through righteous deeds. And you know, we want to have more of a garment than just a bikini. And that may be where the church is at this day. I don't know. I can't assess that. But I'm just saying that the righteous deeds, every time you do righteous deeds, every time you do an act of kindness, every time you leave the Word of God, every time you lead someone to the Lord, any time that you just listen to somebody, anything that is righteousness that is within you, when it is released, there's an outward working of that. And what you don't realize and don't understand is that you're developing your own garment that you're going to be clothed in. These are the things that the church needs to get aware of and realize, because he is coming soon and we have to prepare ourselves. But when we long for him and when we know that he's coming and that is so alive within us, this righteous deeds, they just begin to blossom and flow out of us like a river. It's not something that's hard. It's just in us. And you know what it's like, saints, and you're just filled with the Holy Spirit, and you go and you're just buying a candy bar or whatever, and you're, hey, how you doing? Everything's great. You know what I'm saying? It's just, you've got the love of God in you. It's not faked. It's manifested. Amen. And this, every time that occurs, it doesn't matter. And some of us have garments on and they don't even know it. Some of us maybe don't even have that walk yet with the Lord, but yet you're still doing good things and you don't even realize it. And so there are many people that are out there that are already clothed and don't realize it, because they have listened to the love of God, maybe unknowingly, maybe they don't even know his voice, but they start to do his works because they know this is good. And this is how the church is clothed. It is permitted, it's been permitted to clothe herself in fine linen, bright and clean, for the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. Living according to God's will, loving one another, kind things, ministering the gospel, feeding the poor, meeting the needs of people, praying for the sick, visiting the prisoner, commitment to justice, just encouraging people, just believing in the best of a person. I can't, you know, the thing is, I get around people, I may know things by the Spirit of God, what's wrong with them. I may even be aware sometimes of maybe even some specific sins or something, but it's never, that's not how God wants me to use the righteousness. He wants me to speak into the potential of their life. And if he shows me something like that, it's to me, it's like a coach, and I'm watching a diver, and they don't know how to reach up, put their arms over the head. I say, well, I've got to teach them to reach up. I don't look and say, well, you don't know how to reach up. What's wrong with you? You know, you dummy. No, it's not going to get them anywhere. I have to impart to them the correction. But I also have to see in my mind how I'm going to get it to there and what it's going to look like. And so that's how the prophetic works. That's how the words of knowledge will flow through you. That's one of the ways, is by seeing the potential in someone's life and speaking a word into it that they might become the very thing that God has already designed them to be. So in a sense, even when you're ministering to somebody prophetically, you're not even saying anything that God hasn't already made them to be. All you're doing is confirming it, or you're releasing the word of God because he's in your mouth and he wrote you releasing to their lives. It happens because he's already spoken it before the world was even created. See, God has no end and no beginning. I mean, that right there just messes me up. I can't even go there. I've tried to. It's just, I can't. I mean, create a universe and people just get so worried about this life. This is not your home. You're sent here. That's the hardest thing for Christians to get, is that this is not our home. So because this is a fallen world. It's corrupted. That's why last week when I shared with you that the creation, the word of God in Romans says the creation groans and desires to have the manifestation of the sons of God, because even creation is subjected to corruption. But when we're revealed as the sons of God and we're transformed and we receive our new glorified bodies that live forever and ever, this body's not going to stay. Well, we already know that. The whole creation gets renovated. So the church has a real important part to play. And you know, you've got all kinds of people who put all these religious ideas and, you know, criteria on people, and you know, what to wear, what to eat, you know, who to marry. You can't do this, you can't do that. But the problem with all that is that God has already imputed this righteousness within us, and we walk that out. And the biggest manifestation of it is just loving people. You don't have to sit there and tell somebody they're having problems, because they know they've got problems. Not only that, it's the Holy Spirit's job to clean them up, not mine. I just need to get out of the way and love them, and God will take care of it. He's took care of me. You know, I've run into a few Holy Spirit walls in my life. You know, he has a way. It's like the song we were singing, humble thyself in the sight of the Lord, and he will exalt us. There's only one way to approach the Almighty. That's on your face. And when I was over in South Africa, I didn't realize where all these protocols, when I was talking to these queens, saw three queens over there, and they had all this protocol, and you know, we all told them, you can't wear your shoes, and this, and you don't turn around, and you know, you always face the queen, you don't like do this. It was kind of cool. You know, I was messing up on some of my protocol, but I'm an American, so they just assumed I was not smart, so it worked out. But there's a protocol when you approach God. You know, he's Almighty. He is the Almighty, and there's nothing that is confronting you in this life that he can't solve. But it's all in your mission. It's already been proclaimed, and people find their missions in different points of their life. It's just amazing. But God always wins at the end of the day. So. When God, what God puts into you is what you put out. And when you put it out, he puts more in. And when you put that out, he puts more in. And people, you know, you can have a prayer in a service and say, hey, anybody want the power of God? And people run up. If you go, is anybody wanting the demon cast out? Or nobody comes up. I mean, they should. But you see what I'm saying? But what you put in is what you put out. And you get more. It says, as Jesus said, he who has more, more shall be given to him. It's because you put it out. And there's no small thing in the kingdom of God. There's nothing that's small. Every act of kindness, every word of love, every care and concern, all these things are being added unto you unknowingly, but it can be knowingly. You can be directed by the Holy Spirit, and you'll find yourself being directed by the Holy Spirit when you're talking to somebody who don't knock their head off, and you're not doing that anymore. Because you know that's not with the Lord. Not to say that the Lord can't use you as a hammer, because he can. But you know what I mean. There's nothing that's too small. It's all important. It's important to be clothed. I had not one amen in there. It's important to have clothes on, right? We all go, no one, you know, I've been over to Spain before. I've been in those beaches where nobody's wearing anything, and there's nobody there that I wanted to see naked. I'll tell you that right now. I'm just being honest. I think, oh, good, I'm in a new beach. Oh, my gosh. It was horrible. It was like a horror film. Getting us on tape? Good. All the religious people will be gasping. Anyway. Okay. Revelation 16. So it's important to be clothed. Revelation 16, verse 15 says, behold, I'm coming like a thief. Blessed is the one who stays awake and keeps his clothes, so that he will not walk about naked and men will not see his shame. So you see the significance of righteous acts. It gives you clothes, spiritual clothes. And you be aware of it, because when you do these things, you realize that there's something that's changing within you. There, you're being changed. And you feel like you're being enveloped by something, like something you're putting on a garment, you know. It's like when you get, and we were singing and worshiping, and you know, the presence of God came in here, because you people in here, you know how to put on the garment of praise. You know, you know how to put that on and put those clothes on. And when, you know, it doesn't take a lot, but when you have four or five people know how to do it, all of a sudden the presence of God comes in, because they know how to get into the presence of God. You know, it doesn't take 50 songs for me to get in the presence of God. You know, it doesn't take a great band or what the world thinks is great. It just takes simply an anointing. And you know, when I first started this, the Lord specifically told me, you know, to ask Richard, and then Lori's here, and there's other people come in. And I wasn't based on, oh, well, you know, he's got, you know, five CDs cut. We don't have CDs anymore. He's got all these songs. It had nothing to do with that. It had to do with the anointing. I wanted, in the Spirit, God was showing me, draw people that have anointings, that know how to get in the presence of God. And so when you come in here and you're worshiping, and the garment of praise comes on, which you may or may not realize, you're adding to what the Lord is doing, and there might be somebody sitting next to you that's never experienced the presence of God before. And that's one of the things when you come into a gathering, you know, I mean, you walk in, you walk out, and you know that the Lord was there. It wasn't that the guy was preaching was so good or anything like that. It was the fact that Jesus was there. Because when Jesus manifests himself, he draws all men to himself. Doesn't draw it to the preacher. He doesn't draw it to the musicians. He draws it to himself, because they're his. And he is the head of his church. And a lot of people don't realize that. A lot of pastors don't realize it's not their church. It's not. It's his church. And you know, he gets misrepresented all the time, and I don't think he likes it. I'm afraid of it. I'm afraid of misrepresenting God. I am afraid. I'm afraid to give a word. I mean, I'm being honest with you. It's not how it is with me at all. There's such a responsibility. You know, if I say something that's not him, okay, or at least in my heart, I mean, I'm not saying that I couldn't miss it, but in my heart, if I don't have that going on inside of me, I'm going to become very irresponsible, and it's not going to be accurate, and it's not going to be him. And there's a real severe punishment, I think, to a lot of these prophets in the Old Testament. I mean, they used to stone the guys. I mean, the Isaiah, who is probably one of the most accurate prophets, I mean, things that he said came to pass in 1948 when Israel became a nation. He prophesied, can a nation become born in one day? He was talking about the nation of Israel. He prophesied that nation of Israel would be scattered throughout the earth, and in the end of days, God would bring them back into their homeland. That's happened in 1948. That's never happened to any group of any ethnic group, entire world, ever in history. And yet this guy, thousands of years ago, not just prophesies that, but gives in great detail their crucifixion, almost in more detail than the four Gospels, and yet he wasn't even there. And he got sawed in half, I guess, in a log, something like that. I don't know where they got that from. I don't see it in the scripture, but you know, anyway, those guys, you know, and they were accurate. So, but there's always an emphasis on being. The responsibility of carrying the Word of God is such a responsibility. And so many people have been turned off to Christianity because Jesus was misrepresented. I mean, you could tell people don't want to go to church because, well, you know, a crazy aunt I had or my whatever, or, you know, such and such, and they were just so judgmental and so rigid. And they don't know that the freedom and the liberty of Jesus, it doesn't give us a permission to go out and sin. It's just that when he gets inside of us, he takes all the fun out of it. You can't enjoy it like you used to. And you're just like, oh, why do I do the things I don't want to do? And then you're like, and you read about Paul, the Apostle Paul, who wrote 2/3 of the New Testament, had issues. And he doesn't even tell you what they are. I mean, we know some of the things, but he goes, why do I do the things I don't want to do? And you go through that whole thing at the end, he goes, thank God, Jesus Christ, he sets me free. And like, well, Paul, come on, give me a little more detail, will you? But see, that's the thing that makes the Bible so true and so accurate, is that all these people talk about their problems. David. Not only does he take one of his soldiers' wives, he impregnates her, and then he kills the husband by sending him into war and commanding his troops to withdraw for him while the guy's in battle. I mean, think about that. Has anybody done that in here? And yet God said he was a man after his own heart. Now, what did he mean by that? Well, you have to study the scripture and find out that what David wanted is what God wanted. God wanted the nation of Israel to be captured again, to capture Jerusalem. That's what David wanted. And God wanted to return the ark to its rightful place, and that's what David wanted, and he did it. But he's not getting into heaven off of his acts in terms of like the way he lived. We don't get in that way. There's nobody, you're not going to get in here. You didn't live good enough. The first time you lied, boom, you blew it. That's it. It says the scriptures point that out. There isn't anybody in here that qualifies through any way except through the shed blood of Jesus, his sacrifice. That's how we get in. There's no way you get in any other way. You can't get in any other way. It's impossible. It's just a sacrifice. And people say, well, if God was such a good God, why does he send people to hell? He doesn't send anybody to hell. They choose to go there. They reject the sacrifice. And when you understand that sacrifice, when you understand it, it changes your whole perception of this world. It changes the way you act. It changes the way you talk. It changes you totally because you realize that you couldn't have earned it, but he loved us so much. I mean, and you look at Abraham, my goodness. And he put his son on the altar, and he was going to slay him. And he was so committed to do that for God that the angel had to call him twice to stop him. Abraham, Abraham, and so he didn't slay him, but God says, now I know that you will not withhold anything from me. Because God had already had salvation already laid out. And it's just amazing to me that how much God loves us. And there's so much more to, people just don't understand, even the book of Genesis, they don't understand what was really going on with rebellion and all of these things. And it's so fascinating, the scripture just lays it all out, what was going on before the flood and all those types of things. And it's just amazing to me. I don't have time to go into all that, but I really felt that I needed to say that. So, anyway, we're talking about being clothed, right? Went on a rabbit trail there. So anyway, behold, I'm coming like a thief. Blessed is the one who stays awake and keeps his clothes so that he will not walk about naked and men will not see his shame. In Matthew 22, verse 11, says, but when the king came to look over the dinner guests, first of all, it describes this marriage feast and how there were certain people that were invited to this wedding feast. And so the king sends out his slaves to call all those who had been invited to the wedding feast, and they were unwilling to come. And they told slaves, go to the highways and the byways and invite anybody that you can find and bring them in. And so if you read that parable, it's describing the call, the reaching out of God to the earth, inviting everyone to come in for eternity. But verse 11 says, but when the king came in to look over the dinner guest, he saw a man there who was not dressed in wedding clothes. And he said to him, friend, how did you come in here without wedding clothes? And the man was speechless. Then the king said to the servant, bind him hand and foot, and throw them into the outer darkness in a place where there'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth, for many are called, but few are chosen. What's interesting there is he didn't have the wedding clothes on. He didn't have the garments on. He didn't receive the sacrifice. He didn't have the righteousness that creates that garment. He didn't have that on him. And that's what Jesus is pointing out to here. And he says, because you can't come in on your own righteousness. You can only come in on my righteousness, on my righteous act, my righteous sacrifice. And that sacrifice is power in itself. Because the very meditation on the sacrifice of Jesus releases the power of the blood of Jesus, which cleanses you from all unrighteousness. And so many people walk around life being guilty. All you got to do is repent, confess your sins, and you receive it, you know? And you got to guard that heart. Guard that process. You know when you mess up, it's okay. It's okay with the Lord. Now, if you want to stay that way, that might be more of a problem. But you know, when you mess up, just take it to him. It's not like he says, well, you know, I just don't know if I'm going to forgive you that time. You know, you just crossed the line there. I don't think there's anybody in here that has crossed the line like David crossed. You know? But I don't know. I mean, I'm not the judge. I have no idea. But I just tell you one thing. We have to receive that cleansing power of God. It is a wonderful thing. You know, everybody in here, I'm assuming, takes baths or showers or whatever. If not, we'll pray for you at the end. But, you know, you got to get, you know, as you take care of yourself, take care of yourself in the Spirit. You need to just keep short tabs. Keep short tabs with God. You know, it doesn't take a lot to realize that you mess up. And there's some things that we don't realize. Those are the blind spots. But that's why we get married. So that we discover them. And that's where you really need the power of God. To open the blind eyes. Amen. So just go to your spouse tonight and just, in Jesus' name, open her eye, open his eyes, or whatever. Or come out in Jesus' name. I don't know if I'm going to be able to get to this next part. Yeah.
If we're done.
Yeah.
Toast.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting that you say that, because I'm glad you said that, because I wanted to touch on that. I didn't want to go there, but I think I've done enough for tonight. We'll go to next week. But What you said there is just something that I don't think that a lot of Christians, we don't like to talk about judgment. And we don't like to talk about hell. It's one of the two things, okay? But I recently, because some of the things that Karen and I would look at some of these near-death experiences, people that died in car accidents and stuff like that, and a lot of them have had experiences where they've been before the Lord and they've gone to heaven, but some of them have gone the other way. Now, they're obviously, because they came back and now they're Christians and so forth, but what you said there is one of the things that they knew, that when they were going down, they knew that they deserved it. They knew that they were toast. They knew that there was no way out. And then we talked to us about that outer darkness that I just shared. These are people, these guys have done these things. There were over 1,000 people all over the world, same experience, same thing. That this darkness was so dark, it was like it was alive. And they're describing it. But they knew that it was forever. And that's one of the things that really, in a sense, as we're watching these things, it's not something I necessarily like to watch, because it's horrifying to realize that there is actually a place. See, the God had hell designed for the angels that fall, Satan and his angels. Now, it's not intended for man, because God created man in his own image. That's why you have to really study your Bible to find out what happened in the very beginning, to understand this rebellion that took place and to understand why Satan hates us so much, because we're created in the image of God. In the image of which God looks like us. So obviously, you know, he's God, but the image that we're created in his image, and that's why Satan hates us. And that's why he blinds the minds of people to salvation. And he hates us. It's a passion, you know. So we dealing with the unseen realm, but hell is real. It's not a made up thing. And Jesus talked about it. He talked about very seriously. If your eye, you know, causes you to go down there, pluck your eye out. I mean, you know, he was saying how serious it is. And so by looking at those testimonies and hearing those testimonies, I would not want my worst enemy to go there. I mean, it became so evident to me that it was so real, because I never really ever thought about that. I never really meditated. I was always over into here, and we're all going there, and I'm going to get, you know, bad people, we get there. But when you start to realize that is a real place, your compassion and understanding of the sacrifice of Jesus just goes through the roof, that he doesn't want anybody to go there. It says in his word, that's why he has delayed his coming, that not all people would perish. But see, it also says in Matthew 24 about the church, says the gospel of the kingdom will be preached to the ends of the earth, and then the end will come. So the preaching of the kingdom of God to the ends of the earth is what takes place for the Lord to return. That has to take place. Now, we live in a time, in an hour, time now, where you can, on your phone, go to a different country and get translation. You can go to a phone and communicate to somebody on the other ends of the earth. Technology that's on this earth, or the enemy would try to use for evil, is actually for the Lord to be able to communicate the gospel of the kingdom through everyone. I mean, I was thinking about today, how in the world do I start to go to these unreached places? How can I send a little video clip? How can I do that? And this guy, Derek Prince, was all about that. He was investing in this Wycliffe or whatever that was translating Bibles into all the different languages. And so we're seeing that all take place. And the gospel of the kingdom is not just the gospel, it's also with power. And so there is a season that's coming right now on the earth, and now is, where you're going to see a move of God. It's going to come through you. It's going to come through people all around this earth, because the brightness of his coming is going to be seen in us. That's that manifestation of his righteousness, righteous deeds. It has been permitted for her to be clothed with righteousness, fine linen. Those are the righteous acts and the deeds of the saints. I mean, you could be out driving tomorrow. This kind of move would happen. Somebody gets in a car accident. They're dead on the side of the road. You go over, and God all of a sudden speaks. He says, put your hands on them. I'm going to raise them up. And they raise them up, and there's 15 people around, and they see this happen. All of a sudden, you find yourself talking to these people about the Lord, and all of a sudden, people start to gather. I mean, these are the kinds of things that Christians don't understand that God's going to do in these last days. See, Satan thought that he had Jesus defeated. It says in the scriptures that if he had known, they never would have crucified the Lord of glory, because now it's not just one Jesus he's dealing with. Now he's dealing with thousands of Jesuses in people. Because that was the mystery of the Bible, of the gospel, is Christ within us.
Yeah.
And by asking him into your heart, what is he doing? Yes, he comes in. Yes, he becomes part of you. And that power that created the heavens and the earth resides within us. And by finding out of these works that were the preparable foundation of the world, that we start walking in them, the empowerment of God comes in you and through you and is demonstrated out of your life, so that when you get down on your knees and you pray for that person, God hears it because he's inside of you. And he goes into operation. That's why, just if you did nothing else, if you just pray for people, I was driving, and the Holy Spirit started talking to me. And all of a sudden, he just somehow illuminated me, and it started to breathe on me. And all of the people I've ever met, everybody I've ever met. And then the thought started coming to me, pray for all those people that you've ever met. And I started to realize that he sent me in the earth to actually intercede and stand in the gap to everybody I've ever met? That I could actually pray in this car right now and ask that he would save every single one of them? Is he capable of doing that? Is his sacrifice strong enough that I could actually intercede for everybody that I've ever met, that the reality and the truth of why I'm here, just that one prayer? And could I possibly even pray for not just those I've met, but those that I'm going to meet? Could I possibly understand and believe that I carry his presence around in me that has such contamination power that I literally could walk in a grocery store and the whole place could be contaminated like radiation? Is that possible? You see how he's opening up our hearts and our understanding to his power? It said when he could no longer publicly enter a city. And why did he come in the time that he came? Think about it. Our calendars, our very calendars, are split into B.C. and A.D. Such an impact. He was ministered for 3.5 years. He never built a church. I mean, in terms of a building. He didn't have a Holy Ghost show. He was the Holy Ghost. He was God in the flesh. And he came into this fallen realm. So you look back in the garden, you see how, you read about how God came in the cool of the evening and when Adam had fallen and that type of thing. But he had those experiences where Adam walked with him. And Enoch, it says of Enoch was 300 some years old when Adam had passed. But it says of Enoch that Enoch was walking with God and then he was not. God just took him. And you wonder about how Enoch maybe talked with Adam and said, what was it like to walk with God in the garden? I mean, just we've limited ourselves because of the church system, because of the perversion, has kept back the truth from the children of God. And actually, the enemy has actually used that to keep people from these realities. Because if God's created heavens and the earth, surely he wants to do supernatural things. It's his realm. I don't question it anymore. I just accept it. This night was something that he made before I even was born yet. He knew you were going to be here. This is a divine appointment for you, just as much as it is for me. We're all in it together. So I just want to encourage you, long for his return. Find out that assignment that he's already laid out for you. It's there. He's already developed it. And find it. That's longing for his return. He's coming back. I want to complete my mission. I want to be able to say, like Paul said, says, I fought the good faith. I carried out my mission. I mean, here is a man who was persecuting the church. He was there with the murdering of Stephen when he was being stoned. And yet he gets knocked on the sword, and God chooses, I'm going to sovereignly use this person who's persecuting my church, and I'm going to convert him. And he did it. And Paul carried out his mission. Remember, he was going to go to Rome, and the prophet Agabus says that you know, you're going to go to Rome, and they're going to bind your hands and your feet, and all the disciples, oh, don't go, Paul, don't, Paul. And Paul goes, why are you doing this? I've got to go. He knew that he was going to go to Rome. He knew that he was going to die there. He knew those things because the Lord had laid out to him what he was to do. He even knew where he was going. That is exactly what can happen to you and me. I mean, Paul was special in terms of he's one of the apostles for sure. But Jesus is inside of you and me too. Why in the world would he not disclose to us our end? So I just want to encourage you. This is something that I believe is going deep within your hearts tonight, that you would long for his return. And one of the things we talked about last week, that not even just long for return, there are reasons for it, because what else is going to solve this world's problems? Like I rarely say this all the time. I'll get in arguments on Facebook, or I shouldn't say, not even arguments. I just lay it out there and just watch them just... It just drives the demons crazy. You know what? He's not coming to take sides. He's coming to take over. There's nothing you can do about it. There's no unbelief. There's no denial. There's nothing on the planet that's going to stop this from taking place. And if you look at this Bible and you study prophecy and you start to see, oh my gosh, this has happened. There's a thing called the Daniel Project. You can go on YouTube and look at it for free. And there's a guy that is handed this outline. He's not a believer. He doesn't believe in God, okay? And they give him this outline. And he goes through this outline. And you see him at the beginning of the show and at the end of the show. And all this is all the prophecies concerning Israel and all the specific things that have come to pass that was prophesied over 2,000 years ago. And at the end of the thing, he's deeply disturbed in his mind. He says, you know, this isn't a coincidence. I've got to think about this. I've got some things. I've got to, you know, you can tell that he just realized there's no way in the world that those events could possibly happen if there wasn't a God. And you and I are living in the end of the end of days. What a privilege it is. But it says in the scriptures that there's birth pangs. It's like something's about to be born. And we're looking for the redemption and return of the Lord. But there are things that are going to come on this earth. But the more that it's shaken, the more that it's strengthened it comes, the more that we look up, because we've been longing for his appearing. Now, I don't want to get into much of what I got next week, so we've done good enough. Let's all stand to our feet. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we just thank you for the goodness. We thank you for the evidence of your hand on our lives in so many ways. Father, I think this is a divine appointment tonight, Lord God, and I know that you're here in our midst, and so each and every individual that's here, you know their needs. You know their callings. You know what you have laid out, these works that prepared for them. You know all about them. And some of them, Lord, have been walking in them and completely unaware of it, Lord. But I thank you now that your light has shined on them and they realize that they have been instruments of kindness. They have been instruments of good. They have been instruments that have expressed your love. And Father, also I know that, you know, things that get exposed and how the enemy has tried to steal truth from us at times and understanding of who you are and what your will is and how you feel about us and our destiny. And Lord, I thank you that we come away here tonight understanding that these righteous acts are actually threads of clothes and that make a garment for us to wear so that we stand in your presence. We're standing in an outworking of these righteousness, that we just didn't receive it, that we had an outworking of it to glorify you. And it says in your word, Lord, that, you know, when we bear a lot of fruit, when we do a lot of these things, that you're glorified. And that's the only way we can really express our love, because of your sacrifice and because they have an eternal life. To know that we'll never die, to know that we'll be given eternal bodies just as you have, we can only grasp it and accept it in the faith, and just to know that it's so, and to just look and long for that day. And we thank you for those things. Now, Jesus, I just thank you that you're the head of your church, and that you're coming to your church and coming to your people in such waves of glory and understanding that we are going to be illuminated even greater than we are now, Lord God. We are going to really be illuminated, and that we'll be willing, Lord, to release everything that you have within us to a world that's dying, to a world that's seeking truth, to a world that doesn't even know you yet. And we thank you, Lord, that you've given us all the giftings and the things that we need to carry out these missions. Father, I thank you for a deeper understanding of the significance of the times that we are living. Lord, it said in the word when you came to Jerusalem and you rebuked them and said that they did not understand the times of their visitation. They did not know it was even you, and yet they taught about you, they spoke about you, but when you stood in the temple, they didn't even know who you were. Father, I thank you that you revealed yourself to many of your children on this earth, Lord, that you have salted this earth all over the planet for a move for the gospel of the kingdom to be preached in many different languages in many different areas. But Lord, I thank you for just the places that you're sending us right now, that we would take advantage of tomorrow, that we would wake up and continue to do acts of righteousness through the day, that we'd be encouraged and realize not let the worries of this world weigh us down at all, because this world is fading away and this is not our residence anyway. We're residents of heaven, and you've sent us into this earth. It says that you're the Father of all spirits, that when we were born, Lord God, you sent us a spirit. You knew us before we were formed in the womb, like you said about Jeremiah, and you sent us into this body, into this vessel, into this country. We're sent. And I thank you, Lord, that you're unloading into our minds and that those in our hearts today to understand us, our beginning, and to give us the significance of the fact that we are sent. To have that reality be birthed within us by your Spirit, by your power, God, I ask that you would illuminate that in us tonight. That people would leave here understanding that they are ones that are sent in. And though this body is corrupted, and though it's fading, and though it's fleeting, Lord God, for the time that we're here and the season that we're here, Lord God, we glorify you and we love you. And we do it because we love one another. And let that love, Lord God, grow within us. Let it expand, Lord God. And let the revelation of what you shared with me the other day, Holy Spirit, let that revelation drop in every vessel in this place tonight. Let them know that everybody that they have ever known, enemy and friend alike, that they would get on their knees tonight and that they would pray, and they would send up a prayer powerful, energized by the righteousness of your sacrifice, that all of those that they came in contact with that are alive today, Lord God, that they would come to know you, and that they would intercede, not out of duty, Lord God, but motivated from the love within them that is sparked by your power, by the blood of Jesus Christ. Allow that to be sincerity, Lord God, that prayer before you, we know you will answer. And we just thank you for that, God. Thank you, Jesus. Now, Father, I just ask you to we just release Psalm 91 over each and every vessel here tonight, Lord God. I ask you to commission your angels to surround and protect them. And Lord, I ask you to fill them up to overflowing with your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hey,
if you just heard us say, yeah. If you need healing tonight, I think there's people in here that maybe need some healing. I know of some, but I want you just to kind of come up. We're going to have the people that have giftings in this area, or if you just feel led, and we're just going to pray and believe that people will be healed. We're seeing many healings take place. There's many things. I know you guys are out there doing it, and I'm getting a lot of reports of just restorations, healings, deliverances, just words of knowledge, things like that. I just want to encourage you to go and continue to do that, because you're just coming here to get charged up. We're just here to equip you and to charge you to go out there and do it. Amen? That's so good. Brother, come on.
All right. You mean use this mic right here?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's...
I want to thank y'all for last week. I asked y'all to pray for a boy and people who wasn't here. I got a friend of mine that works with me. His boy was in a real bad car wreck the other week, the week before last, actually. He bought him a hot rod or a Mustang right there, and him and a friend of his was flying down the road and hit a guardrail. Guardrail come through there, took this kneecap off here, cut this leg off right here. They took the leg to the hospital with them, but they couldn't put it back on because the knee was so messed up here, they had to cut it all back right here again. So ask everybody to pray for mental health this morning, but you know, keep his mind straight from losing his leg, and also too to keep infection out. Well, I talked to his daddy tonight, and they're saying that this leg here is doing real good because they cut, had a clean cut, but the other leg right there, they keep getting debris and stuff up under there where the kneecap was. And so I'd just like to remind everybody to pray for that right there. And I want to ask the Lord for forgiveness, because I didn't even say that the other boy who's riding with him walked away without a scratch. And I should have praised the Lord on that right there too, but he walked away from the accident without a scratch. And as far as the encouragement, like what Ty's telling y'all tonight, he had a woman who don't even know him come in there and brought her son with him. And him and a friend of his was on motorcycles, and they was flying around at night, you know, on motorcycles. And he went through this gate that it was always locked, and it, I mean, always open, but it was locked. It ripped his left arm off and messed his leg up real bad. Well, they attached his arm back on right, but his hand don't work like it's supposed to, but he lost his leg. So he was telling him, he was telling the, my buddy's son, he said, look, JJ, he says, look, JJ, he says, even though I lost my leg, he says, I've been skydiving, I go water skiing, and he says, I can do anything I want to do. He says, he says, I got three different legs. He says, I got one for everyday walking, one for as an athletic leg that I can basically, you know, almost run in and stuff like this. And I forgot what the third leg was for, but anyway, so probably this, and I ain't gonna say that, but anyway, yeah. He's saying, you know, it's not the end of your life right there. You can still do anything you want to do. He says, and the good thing about being handicapped, he says, you can always park right there at the front of the stores, and if you go to Carowinds or somewhere, you can always carry at least five people with you to the front of the line on any rides. So he's trying to encourage him the best he could. And so I just want to say another little prayer for him tonight, the Lord, because what they're going to do now is they are going to take and cut the your muscles in his leg right here in the thighs, the big muscle and the little muscle. They're going to take the big muscle, cut it, flip it up over his kneecap right there, because he has no kneecap. He's going to flip it over that, and they're going to sew it up. And then probably about another month, if he gets no infection in it, they can cut that back open, put a kneecap in it, and put cadaver bones in it, and hopefully he'll be able to walk normal on his other leg that where he got taken off right here. So I just like to say, Lord, thank you very much for what you're doing for JJ.
Yes, Lord.
And Lord, look out for an infection. Thank you for keeping an eye of him, Lord. Thank you for giving him encouragement and keep his mind straight, Lord. And we ask all this in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. You're welcome. And we've seen that Lord really do some things. Like I said, you know, it's amazing to me that little thing, us disagreeing, just praying, it affects it. And so I'm just thankful that you guys are just, you're walking the walk. Amen.
Father, son, Robert told them that we are all praying for.